Well, hello to everyone, and welcome to this evening service recording. We're recording here on Friday, the 17th of April. And it struck me the other day that a few years ago, we had two Sabbath evening services, and that this is a wee bit similar to what I was doing then. And we had a service at 5:30, and then there was the same service happened again at 7:30, and in between I had time for a cup of coffee, and that's what happens on a Friday evening. We do one service and then have a cup of coffee and then go again with the second service. One of the differences is that this time the folk who are there for the second service look exactly the same as the ones who were there for the first service, so it's the same empty church building both times. I want to begin our evening worship reading from the words of Psalm 121, and this will be the A version in our Psalter that I'm reading from, and reading the whole of this psalm. And this is a psalm that speaks of how God keeps and God protects and guards his people. I to the hills will lift my eyes. From where will come my aid? My aid comes only from the Lord, who heaven and earth has made. Your foot he'll not let slip, nor will he slumber who you keeps. And see, he who keeps Israel, he slumbers not nor sleeps. The Lord who keeps you is your shade. The Lord's at your right arm. The sun will not you strike by day. By night the moon won't harm. The Lord from evil will protect. He'll surely keep your soul. The Lord your going out and in will guard forevermore. And for those of you who are going out and in and who need to be going out and in these days, the Lord is the one who guards your going out and your coming in. And for those who aren't able to go out and they have to stay in, the Lord is the one who is able to guard you and keep you while you are in. Well, you can pause the recording now if you're going to be singing this, and then afterwards I'll come to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for your word. We thank you for the reminder of you as the God who never slumbers, the God who never sleeps, God who was always active in keeping your people. And Lord, we praise you for that. We thank you that you are the one who is always busy looking out for us and looking after us. And we thank you, O Lord, for this reality. We praise you that we can lie down and sleep, knowing that you will not be sleeping. And we praise you for how good that is. And we do pray, O Lord, that you will bless us with that sleep that will do us good. We pray that you will grant us your peace in these days when there are so many things around us that we could be concerned about. And we pray, O Lord, that you help us to rest in you and to know your peace. Help us now in this time of evening worship. We pray that you will be pleased to use your word for our good. Work among us by your Holy Spirit, and we pray that we will know your blessing upon us as we seek to worship you now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read from two places in God's Word, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. First reading is from the book of Genesis. It's part of the story of Joseph. And then the second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. First of all, Genesis chapter 42. And I want to read from verse 25 through to the end of that particular chapter. And this tells us about the time when Joseph's brothers returned back home, having made their journey to Egypt, and all did not seem well whenever they got back to their own country. So this is Genesis 42 from verse 25. This is God's word. Then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with grain, to restore every man's money to his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey. Thus he did for them. So they loaded their donkeys with the grain and departed from there. But as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey feed at the encampment, he saw his money, and there it was in the mouth of his sack. So he said to his brothers, "My money has been restored, and there it is in my sack." Then their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying to one another, "What is this that God has done to us?" Then they went to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, and told him all that had happened to them, saying, "The man who is lord of the land spoke roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. But we said to him, 'We are honest men, we are not spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no more, and the youngest is with our father this day in the land of Canaan.' Then the man, the lord of the country, said to us, 'By this I will know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me. Take food for the famine of your households and be gone. And bring your youngest brother to me. So I shall know that you are not spies, but that you are honest men. I will grant your brother to you, and you may trade in the land.' Then it happened, as they emptied their sacks, that surprisingly, each man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said to them, 'You have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin. All these things are against me.' Then Reuben spoke to his father, saying, 'Kill my two sons if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my hands, and I will bring him back to you.' But he said, 'My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If any calamity should befall him along the way in which you go, then you would bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave.'" And then we turn to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians, the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, and reading from verse 3. And I read down to verse 11. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many." And we end our reading there at verse 11 in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, I'll be referring to these two scripture passages that I've read, and I want to speak this evening on do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. We read there in our second reading a little bit about the life experience of the Apostle Paul. And Paul was a man who was well acquainted with the heights and with the depths of serving Christ in this world. Paul was a man who experienced joys which no words could adequately describe. But he also knew the opposite of that. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he speaks about one such occasion, a time when he says he was under great pressure, far beyond his ability to endure, so much so that he despaired even of life. He says, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But then he says, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And God had a good purpose in that desperate low that the Apostle Paul went through. And one of the aims that Paul had in writing about that time was so that others might benefit from the things that he had learned. And so he says in verses 3 and 4, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And that's what I want to try to do in this service, is to share some things that God has used for my benefit. And my prayer is that you too will find help and comfort in these things. Life can be very disappointing at times. Many people in these days have been disappointed. There have been so many things that people have been looking forward to, and those things haven't happened because of so many different events being cancelled. There are sad things that happen in life, things that take us by surprise. And when we get a few of these things one on top of the other, our morale can take a bit of a bashing at times. And when we lose people who were precious to us, and when we lose the normal structure of our lives, and when we don't know what way things are going to develop in the future, and whether we'll be able to do certain things again or not, these things can be difficult. And it's easy to get discouraged in such times. And so we need to remember that the Word of God teaches us to not be discouraged. I want to speak very briefly, first of all, about the sin of discouragement. It is a sin to live in a prolonged state of discouragement. It is natural to be discouraged at times. It's natural to be affected by those things we encounter in life that disappoint us. It's inevitable that those things will leave their mark upon us. But we are responsible before God for the attitude that we take to such things. And There can be times when the weight of disappointment lies heavy upon you, and you have to get through that time, and you have to believe that I will get past this. And though it feels terrible and I want to give up at this moment, that will pass, and then I need to keep pressing on. It isn't honoring to God to go through life paralyzed by discouragement. That's not what God wants us to do. And in the strength of God, we can rise above that. We are not victims of circumstance. We're never placed in a situation in life where it's just not possible to find a God-honoring way of going forward. God does not want us to mope around in life with slumped shoulders, feeling sorry for ourselves. We need to believe that it is God that has appointed our life circumstances. And God has a good way for us to find in the midst of these circumstances. So the first thing I want you to grasp and take on board is that we need to avoid the sin of discouragement. Don't be discouraged, because discouragement is a sin. Second thing I want to speak about is about the importance of remembering God. One of the main reasons why we get discouraged in life at times is that we leave God out of the picture. We leave God out of our thinking. And we find that in the things that happen in the scriptures. And a classic example is found in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. It's a time when the spies were sent out into the promised land by Moses. And they were to come back and they were to report on what they had seen in their travels through the land. And all 12 spies were agreed on what they saw. But when it came to their conclusions, there was a great division between them. 10 of the spies argued that because of the strength of the opposition, they wouldn't be able to take that land. It was just too much for the Israelites. But then there was a minority report. The other 2 spies, they were fully aware of the strength of the enemy that they saw. But they believed that what was more important was the presence of God. And Joshua and Caleb argued that if God was with them, then they would take the land. And as far as they were concerned, there should be no hesitation. This land was the promised land, and it was God who had made the promise. And if God had promised it to them, well, that was the matter settled as far as they were concerned. The promise of God and the presence of God, those things counted for far, far more than the obstacles that stood in their way. And so it was remembering God and remembering his promises that made all the difference in the outlook of those spies. And so it is with us in our time. If we leave God out of our thinking, well, then it's inevitable that we will be discouraged. We must remember God as we view all that is happening in our lives and in our world. It's not too hard a thing for God to revive his cause in any land across the earth. And Paul wrote about the hard things he was experiencing. And he says, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. God doesn't want us to just breeze through life in a spirit of self-confidence, believing that we have what it takes to coast through anything that comes our way in life. God rather wants us to know our weakness. He wants us to realize our own utter weakness, and he wants us to cry out to him in our self-despair. Paul says, these things happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but that we might rely on God. And later in the same letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about how God had said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That's in verse 9, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And Paul says how this truth had enabled him to change his own thinking on things. And so he writes in verse 10 of that chapter, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And Paul had learned not to rely on his own strength, but to find strength in and from God. And we need to remember the Lord. Isaiah 59 verse 1 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. And there is no absence of strength in our God. God is still mighty to save sinners. God is able to change people's hearts and bring them into his church. He can turn the hearts of young people to himself. He can turn the hearts of old people to himself. The Lord is able to transform the lives of those that he saves. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, Paul reminds us that we are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship. We are his craftsmanship. And what kind of workmanship will God's workmanship prove to be? Will it prove to be shoddy and substandard? Will it be something that will be rushed and half-finished? Well, no. The honor of God depends on his workmanship. And God is building his church. He is building a temple of living stones. And it will be a glorious work that the Lord will accomplish. So in all our disappointments, we need to remember God. Remember the master craftsman who is at work. Remember that he knows what he's doing. And things that are under construction, they don't look like much at all for a good while. But the one who's making them knows what he's doing. We are his workmanship. Remember the one who is working on us, and we will see things in a different light. Then the third thing I want to speak about is hidden facts. A reason why we are discouraged at times is that we make our minds up based on the facts that we are aware of, and we think that those are all the facts that there are. But so often there are many things that we know nothing of, and those things have a huge bearing on our life situations. There are often things that we do not know, that if we knew them, they would throw a whole different light upon our thinking. And we read from Genesis chapter 42. And there's an example, a wonderful example of that there in the experience of Jacob. It's a time in Jacob's life when things were so hard. There was a severe famine. And times were just grim. And Jacob was overcome with sadness. And in verse 36, the NIV translation of it has, Jacob says, "You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin. Everything is against me." And that's how Jacob felt. His heart was heavy, and he just felt that everything in life was against him. It was loss after loss after loss. And that's how he saw it. Everything was against him. But was that really the case? We know the story, and we know that that wasn't the case. We know that a few months later, Jacob was a man with a very, very different attitude. Jacob was soon to be reunited with Benjamin. He was soon to be reunited with Simeon, and most amazingly of all, he was soon to be reunited with his son, Joseph, his son that for the last 23 years of his life, he had presumed to be dead. And he was still missing Joseph. He still had a heavy heart because Joseph was no more. And here is Jacob, and he's just a matter of weeks away from what must have been the most joyful day of his life. And yet, as far as Jacob is concerned, everything is against him. He is so desperately discouraged because he looks at his situation and he acts on sight rather than on faith. He could see nothing good in all that was happening. It was all bad. Everything was loss. Everything was against him. He was having one thing after another taken from him. But Jacob didn't know all the facts. He didn't know that man in Egypt who was giving his sons a hard time, that was in fact his son, Joseph. And that Joseph had been alive all these years, and there he was in Egypt, and Joseph was the one through whom their lives were going to be saved. Jacob didn't know that. He couldn't see that. And so he feels that everything is against him. His heart is heavy, and he's trudging through life, and everything's gloomy. And yet there is such good news that is so close. And we need to understand that we are in the same kind of position that Jacob was in. We do not have all the facts. We don't know all that God is doing. We only see our little bit that we can see. There is so much that is hidden from us. We don't know what God is about to do. And God may be about to do things that will have a huge impact on our lives and for which we will maybe be praising him for the rest of our days on earth. Sometimes God works in wonderful ways among his people. Sometimes God sends wonderful revivals, and many are swept into the kingdom. And often those type of things happen when people have been praying, and they've been praying because they see how utterly grim things have become. And God intervenes wonderfully. And everything seems so bleak to those praying people. And then they see days that they've never experienced in their lives before. We don't know what the Lord might be about to do in the year 2020. We may not have seen a great many genuine conversions in recent years, but who knows that soon the dam might burst and there'll be a flood of conversions like we've never seen in our lifetime before. There's so much that is hidden from us. One of my fellow ministers, I remember one time talking about his own ministry and how he had gone through a time when there just seemed to be nothing good that was happening. There were no positive encouragements. Everything seemed to be going the wrong way. And then there was a girl who had previously attended the church and had married an unbeliever, and then she had had a little baby. And this minister went to visit. And while he was there, this girl told him about how the responsibility of becoming a parent had come upon her so very forcefully, and she had been led to the Lord as a result of it. She just saw what an awesome and amazing thing it was that here was a little life, a human being, one made in the image of God, and that she had responsibility for that child. And she had come to faith in the Lord through that experience. And the minister had known nothing of that at all. But it was his ministry over the years that had sown the seeds that had produced that spiritual fruit. And so we need to keep going in the opportunities that God gives us to impress his truth upon others. Sabbath school teachers need to keep on in the work of teaching the children the things of God. That work in CY, that work in church camps, in GB and BB, in scripture unions at school, all of those things can be things that God uses greatly. Not necessarily at the time, but sometimes he brings it all back to the forefront of a person's mind. And we don't know what God has just around the corner. Jacob had something wonderful just around the corner. And if we are those who are truly united with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can know by faith that it is never the case that everything is against us. And let us in these days silence those godless, unbelieving thoughts. We must choose to think the thoughts that come to us from the Word of God. We need to counsel our own souls, and we need to tell ourselves, this is what I need to believe, This is what I need to think, and this is what I need to expect. Let us not be discouraged. Let us not give in to discouragement. The writer of Psalms 42 and 43 says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." We need to remind ourselves that everything is not against us, that the world is not falling apart. God has not been dethroned. He may not get a mention in public life by our politicians. He doesn't need it. God is in charge, ignored though he may be. And everything is not against God's people. We need to remember what we're taught in Romans 8:28. Remember what we know. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, those who have been called according to his purpose. We need to remind ourselves that if God is for us, well then who can be against us? Romans 8:31. We need to believe that the word of God is powerful and that God's word will not return to him empty, but it will accomplish what he desires, and it will accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. Isaiah 55, verse 11. We need to believe those things. We need to encourage our hearts with those truths. We need to believe that if we give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, then our experience will be that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. And we need to heed the counsel of God's word in Galatians 6, verse 9, where we're told, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." There are many things that can disappoint us in these days. There are things that you were maybe really, really looking forward to, and those things seem to have gone. And maybe there'll not be the same opportunity to have it in the future in the way you envisaged having it. But let us not be discouraged. Let us not give in to thinking that everything is against us, but let us rather believe that everything is in God's hands. Our times are in his hands, and everything that God intends for us will come to us in God's good time. Let us not give in to the sin of discouragement. Let us remember God, and let us remember that God keeps things hidden from us. We don't see all that he is doing, but we know that in all things he's working for the good of those who love him. And so let's expect that although we might not see it coming, we will experience it, and we will live to praise him for the good that he intends in all of this. Amen. We speak now to God in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come now to you in our prayers. We thank you, God, that your ear is open, that you already know all about us, and we praise you, Lord, for all that you are. We thank you for the reminder from your word of your ways of working, and we pray that you will be pleased to cause your word to stick with us. Father, we confess our sin. We confess the fickleness of our faith. Some days we can be rejoicing in our faith. Other days we wonder if our faith is real at all. And Lord, we confess that we can be blown one way and another. And we pray that you'll forgive us, O Lord, for the fickleness of our faith. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing of that in you. We thank you that you are strong and steady and stable. And we thank you, Lord, for your utter thoroughness in all that you do. We praise you that there is nothing that you will ever overlook, that you've thought of everything, provided for everything. And we praise you, Lord, that that is the case. Help us, O God, to remember you. Help us to remember that this God we read of in the Bible, that you are real, and that every day we can count on you being that kind of God, and that every day there is some sort of explanation for what has happened in the world, that you have been working, and these are the things that you've brought about. And we don't see the end of the story, but we can know, Lord, that you're in it all. We pray that you will help us, O Lord, to trust you when we cannot see what your good purposes are. Help us to trust you, O Lord, when we can't see where it's all leading to or how it's all going to end up. Help us to trust you when it doesn't feel as if everything is working together for our good. Help us to trust you when we are tempted to wonder if it really is the case that you never slumber nor sleep. Lord, we ask that you will help us to truly believe in you. Strengthen our faith, O Lord. And we pray that we will bring you our praise for all the good things that we do see. And we pray, O Lord, that you would help us to be to be diligent in rejoicing in what we are able to see at times of those good purposes of yours. We ask, Lord, for your help now in these times. We give thanks for these last couple of weeks that would have been the school holiday weeks for children. And we pray for them now as they go back into the time when they would normally be at school. We pray for children as they're not able to go to their school, but where they have work that they're being given to do at home. And we pray for your help for children in seeking to keep going in their learning. And we pray that you will enable them to do that, that they will not just be stuck at their present level, but that they'll be able to press on to grow in their understanding, grow in their abilities. And we pray that you'll give an appetite for learning about the amazing world that you have made. And we pray that as children grow up, that they would find the things that they are particularly interested in, and that you would guide and lead them, O Lord, into the useful things that you have for them to do in your world. And we pray for your help for all those who are studying at home and trying to do things in a different way from the way they would normally do things. We ask for wisdom for our political leaders. We pray that you help them as they watch and see the things that are happening in these days. We pray that you will help them, O Lord, to make good decisions and choices. And we ask that you'll be pleased, O Lord, to give encouragements and to give hope. And we praise you, God, for the good things that are there for us day after day in our lives. Be with those who are out and about working. We pray for your safe keeping in all of the things that work involves. And we pray, Lord, for those who are inside, and we pray for your safekeeping at home. And we pray, O God, that you will help us to look to you each day and to find in you that strength that we need. Lord, may we be those who are not discouraged, but who find hope in you. Hear these prayers now. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. I referred earlier to Psalm 43, and that's the psalm I've picked to close the service with. And I'll just read the words now of Psalm 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against a godless land, and now deliver me from the unjust, deceitful man. For you are God, you are my strength. Why do you cast me off when enemies oppress me hard? Why must I suffer grief? Oh, send your light forth and your truth. Oh, let them guide me well and bring me to your holy hill, the place in which you dwell. Then will I to God's altar go, to God my greatest joy. Yes, God my God, your name to praise, my harp I will employ. Oh, why are you cast down, my soul? Why so disturbed in me? Hope now in God. I'll praise him yet. My Saviour, God is he. And so we are encouraged and we're pointed in the right direction. We're told that we need to put our hope in God. Believe that we will praise him yet. Believe that we will know God to be our Saviour, that he will send his light, that he will send his truth, that he will guide us well, and that we will experience a joy in him. So if you're singing these verses of Psalm 43, you can pause, and then I will bring the service to a close with the benediction. Now receive the blessing of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.